This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 31st of January, 2023. After experiencing 7 weeks in the month of January this year, I am glad to see that it has come to an end. It's time for February, the month of love. And this coming February, I'm hoping to have a number of Valentine's Day themed shows. Now, according to my records, this may be the 500th show of On the Clock. And I just want to say to the listening audience, thank you for joining me, joining us at The Guardian every day for this journey. It has been just a tremendous, tremendous journey. It's more than a pleasure, it's like an honor, right? It's like a gift to be able to address the Bahamian public every day. And I wanna say thank you. Today we're talking about the crime report, and I talk a little bit about what's in the newspaper. Four Bahamian men arrested following failed human smuggling attempt. 10 shot dead by police. 6 injured in 2022. That's on the Guardian headline. And there's that little political news there. Another headline in the Tribune, no surprise, an increase in sex crimes, says activists. Right? So we'll talk a bit about that today. The numbers to call are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. And 325-4259. Now, I have to make a note. That song, Calm Down, that's not a Bahamian song. And typically, I like to focus on Bahamian music on the show. But I wanted to play that song this morning, especially since you're talking about the crime report, right? I just love that song. It just shifts your energy. But also, I played that song kind of as a tribute. Last week, sort of at the end of the week, there was a murder in Johnson Road. A young man known as Bucket was shot and killed. I didn't make mention of it right away because it's a bit heavy for me. I've known Bucket all my life, most of my life, from a little girl because we went to the same church. And then there was a little bit of shame, right? Because I forget what Bucket's government name is. But see, I'm the kind of person, you don't have to remember my name to hail me if you know me. And me not remembering your name is not going to stop me from hailing you when I see you. I just don't understand that people is, oh, I don't remember their name. And you don't hail somebody. Like, you don't need to know someone's name to be respectful to them. And you don't need to know their name to reconnect with them either. So I want to say condolences to the family and friends of Theo Bucket. I don't know the circumstances in which you were killed. And sometimes we have the benefit or the privilege of bad and short memories. But I never needed to know Bucket's full government name to hail him in the road or ask him if I could pick tamarind from his tree. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's the Bahamas I grew up in, and I don't know if that's the Bahamas we live in anymore. But two things. The area I live in, is not known for violence. There have been a number of violent incidents over the last year, but we sort of border on an area that statistically is very violent. We're very close to one of the roads that has one of the highest, if not the highest, number of shootings, killings, murders, and gun violence. And so before we had the conversation about crime, about the police report, about the homicide count, I wanted to play that song, Calm Down. It's a beautiful song. It's a nice song. And you know, despite it being maybe about relationship dynamics between men and women, flirting, dating, getting to know each other, not everything has to be about sex and intimacy. That's why I played that song today, because we need to calm down. We need some of that energy, some of that spirit on us. So anyway, once again, I want to say condolences to the family and friends of Bucket, Theo Bucket from Johnson Road, and to the whole Johnson Road community who would have known and grown up with Bucket. It just is a sad day. Got some texts here. Give me a second. Ooh, interesting text. Morning, Ms. Green. Can you take a leave of absence from your job without being fired? Can you give some guidance on how to go about this? I think they call that a sabbatical in the white-collar world. Maybe that's just the academic world, right? But you should be able to take a leave of absence from your job without being fired. If you're a contract worker, most people are contract workers, you gotta go into the contract to determine whether the contract prohibits it entirely, right? If the contract says no, that's not possible, then you have an issue. If there are no clear terms about it, you may be able to negotiate with your employer about what you can do. So here's what I'm going to advise you to do right now is call the labor board and, make your inquiry there. And you could also call the Eugene DePuch Law School Legal Aid Clinic and ask them for their advice there as well. A texter says to that texter, listen, remember, you have sick days. And then you have call-in days, and then you have compassionate days, and then you have vacation days, right? And if you don't need an extended amount of time off of work, you may be able to use all of those days to amass a period of sabbatical, a period of time off. All right, so let's go into the stats from the Royal Bahamas Police Force Meet the Press 2023. So here's the first thing. I couldn't find anything. I don't know what's going on. I would love for somebody, if you could text me at 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. If you have a link to the full crime report and the stats therein, please send me the link. Normally, the report is posted, is published online on the Royal Bahamas Police Force website. You could find the link there. There is a link up, but it takes you to a Facebook page, Royal Bahamas Police Force Facebook page, where there is a collection of images, I think, highlighting police activity over the last year, but not a crime report. And I think that's a big thing to note. I also, while on the website looking for the crime report, found the monthly crime reports, and there are only 4 months of crime reports posted online. This is why yesterday I said, I don't like that y'all call it Meet the Press. First of all, that's like a entertainment industry term, right? That's the television show named Meet the Press, where politicians are engaged by media personalities to answer questions that are of interest to the general public. But this was supposed to be a press conference to disseminate statistics from the yearly crime report. 4 media to be able to properly engage the Royal Bahamas Police Force, they should have had access to the statistics before the Meet the Press event, so they could ask cogent and relevant questions about the crime report. And so, when the Commissioner of Police, quote, pleaded with parents to monitor their children's social and media activity. Technically, we don't need you to do that. What we need you to do is to ensure that the statistics are released in a timely fashion so the civil society organizations can interrogate the statistics and pull the same information that your critique and concern was rooted in, and not just share it with the general public, but devise programs to engage that issue. It's not your job, Commissioner of Police, except for ensuring that the cyber crimes unit is properly resourced, the officers are properly trained and given the necessary psychosocial services, because sitting on a computer all day and looking for and interrogating sex crimes can hurt people, right? It is damaging. It has a negative impact. Like, that's what we expect of you, sir, is you focus on ensuring that the cybercrimes unit has what it needs to be able to assist parents when they suspect or determine that their child is using the internet inappropriately. We need you to focus on catching predators. And it's not a fuss. I'm just emphasizing it. I put the emphasis on it. I'm not fussing. That's what we need, right? And so to me, it's a bit disturbing. We're at the end of January already. And we don't want this to go the way of the public disclosures, where we forgot that the actual deadline is December 31st and not March. We don't want it to go like that. So let's start with, I guess, murders. In today's, we're not going to go there yet, to today's Guardian. So from the crime statistics that were released at the Meet the Press event, there were 128 murders for the year 2022. Royal Bahamas Police Force says that they had 69% solvency or 86 cases solved. I just want to say that that is not the math. The math is not mathing. I don't know if 86 is the incorrect number or 69% is the incorrect number, but the math is not mathing. There were two foreign victims. 35 suspects committed murder. 34 victims killed on bail. 30 victims killed on to EMD. And I'm reading that exactly how it was printed by RBPF. 46 victims known to police. And firearms were used in the majority of cases. Now, I just want to know, and you know what, maybe what I need to do is make sure that next year I'm at the Meet the Press. How do you know that 35 suspects committed murder? How you know? Have some of them, have they confessed? Do you have a witness testimony? How are you certain that we don't have a serial killer? Or in the context of gang activity, that we don't have a hitman? Right? I just want to know, like, how you, is it extrapolated? Like, how do you come to that figure? 34 victims killed on bail. 30 victims killed on to EMD. So EMD is electronic monitoring device. I think what these stats are saying, that 34 of the victims who were killed were on bail, and 30 victims were killed while wearing ankle bracelets or electronic monitoring devices. 46 victims are known to the police and firearms used in majority of cases. Okay, so we know that known to police means, well, let me rephrase that, because maybe I am just making an assumption. Are we to assume or presume that known to the police means has priors? Like you have, and does that mean you have prior convictions? Right? How is this language being used? And when is it being used? And why does it feel like it's being used as a justification? Anyway, there's another question I have from yesterday, and I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to ask it again. And this is from the Nassau Guardian's coverage of the Meet the Press event on its social media platforms. If, this is my question, if, quote, crimes against the person increased, close quotes, quote, due to the uptick in murders, sex crimes, and armed robberies, close quotes, this is my question, then what are serious crimes? Right, the Commissioner of Police said serious crimes decreased by 2% nationwide in 2022. Serious crimes decreased by 2% nationwide. Fernandez said crimes against the person increased by 23% last year. He said this is due to the uptick in murders, sex crimes, and armed robberies. And so, I couldn't find a definition on the Royal Bahamas Police Force's website yesterday. But if any police officer, person who works with the judiciary, in the Ministry of National Security, or the AG's office, could text in or call in and tell me if murders, sex crimes, and armed robberies are classified as crimes against the person, then what crimes are in the category of serious crimes? I don't want to make fun. I'm not making fun of it, but what? Is somebody going to have to try and pick up Atlantis and take it on the boat with them to the States? Is that a serious crime? What then constitutes a serious crime? And what does this mean if things like murder, sex crimes, and armed robberies are not categorized, are not considered serious crimes by the system? And what does serious crimes mean exactly? Like, tell us, because we already feel like you don't believe the murder, sex crimes, and armed robberies are serious. We already feel like that a little bit. But I thought that that's a question that has to be asked. So let's get back to the statistics for the 128 murders of 2022. In New Providence, there were 113 murders. In Grand Bahama, there were 8 murders. In Abaco, there were 4 murders. In Andres, there was 1 murder. Eleuthera, there was 1 murder. And Exuma, there was 1 murder. Now, to see the number of murders on the Family Islands is troubling, is extremely troubling. And I think it suggests that we need urgent action to disrupt whatever is happening in these family of islands. But this, you know, the spread seems reasonable given the various population sizes. There's another question. At the beginning of this year, 2023, all the media houses, we start the conversation with a homicide count, right? We start with a homicide count. But by the time we get to the RBPF statistics for the end of the year, we end up with a murder count, right? What I want to know at this press briefing and in the expected crime report, do you make a distinction between how many homicides were registered and then how many were determined to be murders based on the evidence assessed or determination by the courts? Right? This is important. A homicide is a killing. A murder is a type of homicide. For instance, the case with the 3-month-old baby that was presented at hospital, doctors unresponsive, doctors observed injuries, what appeared to be injuries to the face. The report read that is right. It's a suspected killing, as opposed to natural death by natural causes, some other determination. And so I've not included that particular instance on my homicide count list, right? Oh, it's certainly not the murder list, but it should be, and I haven't included it on the homicide list either, but it's on the side waiting for a clear determination to be made. Yeah, this is important because people will never have a sense of justice if they feel that the person who was tried and or convicted in the killing of their loved one was not charged with the correct thing or was not found guilty of the correct thing, right? And so there's a lot of resentment that's generated when a killing that people identified as a murder is declared to be a manslaughter or something else. People feel like something's gone wrong. It's important to tell people that, listen, everything is classified as a homicide until it is determined what type of homicide it was. So I got some texts here. It says, good morning, Ms. Green. From the COP says they didn't have enough evidence in the Colby Davis case. I've lost confidence in him, man. Texted, we talked about that a bit yesterday. The headline was troubling, but don't lose confidence yet. what we do is we continue to demand accountability, honesty, and transparency from our state and government actors. We say to them clearly, without any sort of aggression, without any force, it's just not transparent enough. In fact, the leader of opposition is in today's Tribune addressing the same point that you made and we made yesterday. And he says, the government is duty-bound to give a complete report into the police investigation of claims made against Housing and Transport Minister JoBeth Colby-Davis. Now, what I want to know, I haven't delved deeply into this story, what I want to know is this a statutory obligation? Are there provisions in law or in parliamentary procedural codes that dictate a certain procedure going forward on these matters, right? Is there something in law or in code that obligates them to make a report? Or are we talking about an ethical duty, right, to make a report? Are we talking about a moral duty, Mr. Pintard? But you can read that story in today's Tribune. It's another text here. A text here says, great show as usual, Ms. Green. Nassau is so ridiculous, we could almost predict who will be killed next. For example, We can almost predict who will be killed next. Well, what the commissioner says in the crime report is that I am inferring from the data presented on their flyers that a number of these events were gang-related, retaliation-related. Right? Gang-related and retaliation-related. So in that sense, Texter, you're right. We may not be able to say exactly who will be killed, but there's a great chance that the violence is occurring within the gang community, right? Between people who are known to each other and have conflict because of their gang or drug activity. Now, the next part of your text is a bit heavy, and I want to be very cautious about how we talk about this part. Let's start. The text is concerned about people who, in fact, the stat right here, 34 victims killed on bail, 30 victims killed wearing an electronic monitoring device. You are not the only person that is concerned, Texter. In a Guardian article from the 4th of January, 23, the title is, in 2022, an almost 8% jump in murders. And it reads, last month, Prime Minister Davis said the main challenge continues to be offenders being given bail. Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernando also expressed frustrations over individuals on bail who he said are committing more crimes and questioned why they continue to be released. Quote, we seek them out and put them where they belong, said Fernanda at a press conference. Why should that individual continue to get bail? The article continues. However, the issues with bail and legislative changes over the years have remained controversial given that suspects have a constitutional right to be tried within a reasonable period. It says, the issues with bail and legislative changes over the years have remained controversial, given that suspects have a constitutional right to be tried within a reasonable period. So watch this. Is the problem that offenders are being given bail, or is the problem that we are not trying suspects and charged individuals within a reasonable period of time? I guess, producer, we could go to a break right here. Let me put that question back out to the audience. Is the main challenge that offenders are being given bail? And I'll stick a pin. Let's broaden that. Not just offenders, but possibly offenders with multiple charges for what I thought was serious crimes, but are just crimes against the person, right? And maybe that's a part of the problem. Is it that offenders are being given bail, or is it that we are not trying suspects within a reasonable period of time? So listen, we're going to go to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue delve into this sort of heavy conversation about crime and the crime report. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always calling me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I just... I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure that they check and talk more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't worry, I got some sweet, sweet Bahamian music for you too. We got to balance it out. While we were on the break, I got a text here that says that statement they use known to the police is starting to bother me because they could use that excuse. An unscrupulous officer could use that excuse. Okay, Texas, let me rephrase it, okay? When the police use the term known to the police in the ways that they use it, it's very easy for a listener to infer, right? That's like the listener says, oh, well, this is what I think it means. It's easy for the listener to infer that in some way the killing was justified because the police always have to talk to this boy, right? And that concerns a lot of people, Texter. That concerns a lot of us. Another text here, it says, how come black people in New Providence have so much antisocial behavior? It says the Chinese people are not killing other people in the Bahamas. White people are not killing other people in the Bahamas. But us black people kill. Something have to be seriously wrong. Okay, dear texter, it appears as if you're talking about something that we sort of call, and in the U.S. they like to call black-on-black crime, right? And they like to say, well, why are you so concerned about what white people are doing to black people when it's really black people that are killing all the other black people, right? And so like in the Bahamas where there's majority black people, are you going to find that the majority of killings are committed by the majority population, right? And that's it. Like, that's just how the numbers work. Now, here's the next thing. What you have to say is that no Chinese person or white person has been brought before the courts for killing or has been convicted of killing a person. Now, dear Chinese and white people, I'm not saying that that's what y'all is be doing. I just helping the text clarify what it is that they're saying. All right. So this matter of bail. Question. Is the main challenge that offenders are being given bail, or is it that we are unable to try suspects within a reasonable period of time? I think this is very, very important if we want to take a hold of this matter. Like if we need a constitutional reform committee, we need one to interrogate the scope of the government in creating new courts, right, to attempt to alleviate the backlog in the judiciary. I think there's a famous case where a gun court was created and then it's determined that it wasn't created properly, and that became a big issue. So it's not something you could just jump up and do. You can't just jump up and create courts. Because people have rights. You have to follow the plan. You have to understand what the Constitution says you can do. But can we, when I say new courts, I don't mean like magistrate court number 25 and 27 to add to the list. I mean like a gun court where you try exclusively gun matters, right? Or a gang court where you try exclusively gang matters. Or a sexual offenses court where you exclusively try sexual offenses matters. It's a big, big question around bail. And I think one of the questions that all Bahamians have right now is, how many times can you breach the terms of your bail before having bail revoked? Now, dear texter yesterday, and who remind me every day that I need to do more research before I talk about subjects, I looked at the Bail Act yesterday, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to need a lawyer to go through it with me. And not just like a lawyer, oh, I went to law school. You need a lawyer that is not just familiar, but kind of expert in the procedural part of the courts, right? Like that understands that greatly. That thing is thick and complicated. But how many times can you breach the terms of your bail before having bail revoked? Right? And what offenses can you sort of be before the courts for and still get bail on the same matter? And that's a big, and then in particular, not just breaching bail, how many times can you breach the terms of your electronic monitoring device before having bail revoked? Because technically, they should have a sense of exactly where you were and should be able to extrapolate, that mean like come to a conclusion about what you was doing based on where you were, what time it was, and what you do, like as an occupation, and what you before the courts for. Are they monitored real time? I mean, it's a question we ask over and over again. Are they monitored real time, right? Does the device tell you where the wearer is or where they are not, right? Like if it's real time, it'll show you where the person is at any moment. But does the device just send off a signal when you have left, when you are no longer within the confines of your bail? And then just a last question before I go back to the text line. These devices we have, do they record audio and video, and do they have GPS trackers in them? All right, text. Good morning, Ms. Green. This is an easy fix. Remember when the Ingram administration brought in judges from Australia? They cleared up so many cases in a very short time. Mr. Fred Mitchell was the main proponent against this. There is an urgent need for this to happen again. Okay, I'm gonna investigate that. That's interesting that Ingram and Mitchell are juxtaposed in this way. Because I don't think it's an FNMPLP thing. I don't think it's that. It's very interesting. Thank you, Texter. Texter says, I never heard of a criminal firing a warning shot or aiming for the police leg or arm, but yet we want the police to do it. Yes, Texter, because the police are extraordinary. They're not ordinary, they're extraordinary. They have the power. They're authorized to have the power. That's why they give a warning shot first, because they got the power. I'm not saying that police should just be prey to any manner of foolishness, so Texter, don't mistake my critique for that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to properly resource our police officers. And that means frequent, regular, the same thing, firearms training, self-defense training, martial arts training. We must provide our officers with the best available resources in terms of bulletproof vests and body cams and helmets if they suspect that they're going into an area or operation where there may be heavy gunfire. Body cam to protect them, as well as to ensure that they operate with integrity. That's what we're saying. Give them what they need to do the job properly. Don't just critique and bash them, knowing that they don't have the resources that the officers in the developed world we're judging them against have. All right, another text. The monitor goes off if you are in the area where the crime you are suspected of committing happened. You can't go anywhere near that area. Okay. All right. That's one of the terms. Okay. Thank you very much, Texter. Another text. And I'm going to throw this question out to the audience, Texter. How do y'all feel about the mandatory arming of officers with less than lethal options, like tasers and rubber bullets? I like it. But it also comes with training. We saw an incident recently in the U.S. where an officer pulled their gun as opposed to pulling their taser. In the subsequent investigation, they indicated that they thought they were pulling their taser and they actually pulled their gun and shot someone. So it also requires training. Absolutely. Thank you, texters. This question of bail, this is a big one. This is a big one. But it's not something that we could just sort of like panic and be hysterical about, because everyone has a right to be tried within a reasonable period of time. Having people on remand for 5 years is ridiculous. So imagine people who have been on remand for 10 years and more. It is just ridiculous. So I don't think we should sort of technically revoke the right to bail across the board. I think that it's a balance of maybe making clearer determinations of who can get bail and when, and working to fix the judiciary. And watch this, it's not just new buildings, you know. Fixing the Supreme Court building alone will not cut it. You also have to shift the culture within the judiciary. The sort of public service culture has to be shifted. But also, we have to speak to the community of defense attorneys and ask them to stop using trial delays as a part of their case strategy. I got a text here that says, Aaron, what are you talking about? The police have body cams and still don't seem to make the video available to the public. They don't need any of the things you speak about. They need a body to hold them accountable, just as the FBI oversees the police. Dear texter, look at you and I. Wherever two or more are gathered, that's what we're doing, right? You notice that I didn't hear anybody from the judiciary, from the, when I say the judiciary, the legal community, the fraternity of lawyers, like the Bar Association. I didn't hear not one of them get up and challenge when the minister, I think it's the Minister of National Security, indicated clearly that the public shouldn't expect to see body cam footage. And the public says, well, give me back my taxpayer money. Let the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the AG's office and the Ministry of National Security and whoever else have cookout and raffle, the same way that ordinary Bahamians have to figure out how they're going to get access to health care. Y'all use that to buy your body cams if I, the public, cannot see the footage. In fact, look at the ridiculousness of it? Thousands of Bahamians have sat in their homes over the last week to 2 weeks following the Tyrell Nichols case in the U.S., where the five officers are being charged because of what the body cam said, right? Showed. And there's another body cam incident where the footage has not been released. And the media went out to the public, and people in the public said, listen, I may not want to watch the footage myself because I have learned that it is very gruesome, but I believe the footage should be available to the public. So tell me, Bahamians, how do you sit peeled, eyes glued on to the global North America, and you sitting there feeling that you're in the comfort of living in a civilized world? That's how cultural imperialism and ontological Americanness works. But in your own Bahamas, you let the people you elected tell you that they're going to use your money to provide services, but not necessarily to you, and not necessarily for your benefit. And you should just trust us. How y'all feel about that? As we close out the first month of January, of the 2023. Tex, good morning. We as a people need to demand that our government representatives do what we ask them to do. Things have to change in this country. Tex says, isn't Lincoln Bain promoting this action? I don't think so. I'm going to be honest with you. I do not think so. We could continue to talk about it, but I don't think so. Anyway, I want to get deeper into the crime report, but I haven't been able to put my hands on it yet. And so here we are, all of us. Some more questions to put on the table about crime. What are the root causes of crime? What are the solutions to crime? How are we going to go about disrupting and deconstructing gangs and gang culture? Will the 2022 crime report include a return on investment statement for our violence disruptors and interpreters consultant services? Will there be a section on the traffic report? And what about the property crimes report? There was just a line that said property crimes decreased by 9% due to a drop in house break-ins and stealing, according to the police commissioner. Do you have specific stats for gas tanks? By now, you must have a whole unit to address the theft of cooking gas tanks. Anyway, there's lots more in the news. Unfortunately, I can't get to it all today. I will just, to end the show, I will just refer to two reports from our news on the 28th and the 26th. This one is troubling to me. Police seek armed robbery suspect. Two men were arrested in relation to a recent armed robbery of a businessman on North Andres. When we get back to this conversation, we're going to pick it up from right there. You guys, pick up your Guardian today. It's full of important stories you need to be aware of. But stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.